Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Wiseup. Today we're doing the 2023 wrap-up show. We do this every year. It's the end of the year special. And, you know, what can you expect today? Well, we're going to talk about pop culture moments. We'll count down the top 10 episodes, and I'll tell you why we might not do that again. We're going to talk about big moves. We're going to talk about how we had guests on and appearances that I made. Celebrity deaths. What else is there? Predictions. We'll talk about the results from 2022's predictions, as well as make some more for 2023. Your favorite moment of the show? Mine as well, because I'm never right. But you never know. Once in a while, maybe I'll sneak one in. I will petition you why I think I'm right. Let's see here. Yeah, that's about it, right? So let's start out with pop. And look, it's a little early. I'm recording this December 26th, so technically there's 5 more days left in the year. And you know how it goes. Sometimes at the end of the year, the celebrities start dropping off. So a premature thing, but with the schedule that I'm looking at, I gotta get this one out. I don't know what to do. I gotta get it out. So this one has to happen early. Post-Christmas special, if you will. All right, let's start with the best pop culture moments. If you recall, in 2022, I claimed, and rightfully so, that Will Smith slapping Chris Rock was the moment. And since then, we've had a whole lot of things that have happened. We see how the 2000 VMAs? A very similar incident happened. Very strange. But 2023, we had lots of strange moments. Let's go down through a bunch of them here first. And then I'm going to give you my Isaac certified top pop culture moment. David Grush. Remember him? He's doing the rounds. Talking about how he saw a bunch of alien UFO proof. He was blown. He was blowing it so hard, that whistle. He was blowing that whistle so hard. So a new player in the UFO agenda. And we're still wondering, is it a big grift? Is it a deception? Is it Project Bluebeam? Or is it reality? We don't know yet. Well, I don't know yet. David Lynch, our beloved David Lynch, got divorced. I got Laura in the studio next to me. She's rolling her eyes. She don't like that at all. How can such a great artist, which, you know, it's not actually surprising. A lot of these artists, I bet they're really hard to live with, have a relationship with, because they like to create, right? And I get that. You got to create. Elon Musk, he changed Twitter to X. Everyone still calls it Twitter. Probably one of the dumbest brand changes of all time. And if you recall, back when he took it over, I think it was in 22 he took it over, but early in the year, he kept teasing how he was going to reveal the truth about Fauci. He called it the Fauci Files. You remember this? I looked through my whole Twitter feed for the whole year to recap a lot of these things. And he kept talking about how he's going to release it and prove to the world, you know, because here's the thing with Elon Musk, right? When the COVID pandemic happened, he refused to shut down his factories, you know, because he's a capitalist, right? Capitalists, they're more interested in money and keeping the business machine rolling than anything. Facts, right? Regardless of what you think about the virus or not the non-virus, whatever, doesn't matter. He, being the businessman, was refusing to shut down at all. And he felt like his rights were being infringed upon. So he became a sort of, I don't know if right wing is the right word, but he became a sort of anti-government sort of guy, more so than before, more libertarian than before. And part of this was to expose the truth about the pandemic. And he said he was going to do it. And I kept saying, I was half trolling him on Twitter because I didn't believe he was going to actually reveal anything, because I think he's just I think he's like, there's this new red pill movement full of grifters, and he's one of them. And I was right. I kept saying, bro, you ain't releasing nothing. Quit acting like you're going to do it. It's like these people that are going to reveal the truth. And look, they just don't. And if the world's richest man doesn't have proof, he's got an agenda and he's got the proof, well, then where is it?
Right.
And look, I'm not defending Fauci. He tortured puppies. All right. I think the lab thing was a far more critical component to this whole thing than what we were allowed to know. But alas, I still paid Elon Musk the $8 a month for the blue check mark. I did. Not my proudest moment. I'm not happy about it. In fact, every month I think, ooh, I should turn that off. I don't want to. Why am I giving this guy $8? You know? And what it does is it supposedly enhances your reach. So, I mean, if from a financial business standpoint, it makes sense, so I do it. You know me, right? I got my beliefs, but I'm not too... Depends on what it is, right? Sam Tripoli, he did... This is all Twitter related, by the way. He did Adam Carolla's show, Big Moves for my man Sam. And then his Twitter got unlocked. And that was the first domino, because after that, you'll recall, Alex Jones was let back on Twitter. And there was also a little bit of truth or drama, because David Icke had a bit of a conspiracy about this as well, saying this was all deception and some ritualized theater. And this is where a lot of people started talking about this idea of this new red pill group, right? This, your Andrew Tate's and Tucker Carlson and Roseanne Barr, she's lumped in there with them. And I just did a whole show about her Kabbalistic leanings and selling her soul to the devil. And Tucker also wears the red string Kabbalah bracelet. And Alex Jones and Elon Musk, they're all sort of the new alternative media, right? All highly sus. And then I did a whole episode about the symbolism of Twitter being rebranded to X. And synchronistically enough, it was the 666th episode I uploaded to the Apple podcast feed. Seems odd. And Elon, you know, I don't like Elon, but then he pulled me back in when he told Bob Iger and Disney to go F themselves, which was pretty funny. A great pop culture moment, but not my favorite. Not my favorite. He was doing it while wearing the James leather coat with the sheep fur. You know, James from Twin Peaks, his motorcycle coat he wears. Speaking of Sam Tripoli, did you see at the beginning of the year, Machine Gun Kelly confronted Sam Tripoli about a joke. He didn't like the joke. And Sam almost had to pull out that Krav Maga on Machine Gun Kelly. You know, that would have been a great fight. I would love to see that. Then, what else happened? The lightning bolt hit the Christ statue at Rio de Janeiro. We had the coronation of the new, King Lizard people? I don't know. We had the submarine with the billionaires in it that imploded in the ocean. Young Thug is on trial. His whole team allegedly snitched. Allegedly, I don't know. Like Gunna, you know, he was part of this group, and all of a sudden he's let out of jail. A lot of people say, oh, they're snitching on Thug. And we found out that Thug's YSL group or gang or whatever, you know, they're trying to say it's not a gang. And I don't know. I'm not that big of a Thug fan anyway. But they had found out he was doing goat sacrifice rituals. Illuminate confirmed, yes, indeed. Another big one, we had the MH370, the flight that disappeared 10 years ago. Videos releasing of UFOs circling around it. Very odd. Very odd. Sound of Freedom, the film dropped, showing the world about child trafficking. And the founder of Operation Underground Railroad, Tim Ballard, got railroaded, got shredded into pieces. Since the movie, he was forced to leave and resign. Well, maybe not forced. He resigned from Operation Underground Railroad, which he started to save traffic kids, which is what the movie's all about. He was forced to leave the he was the CEO of Glenn Beck's Nazarene Fund, and he got booted out of that. And we find out, and I thought, wow, that's really weird, all these things are happening. And then we find out why. It's because he had all these sexual assault allegations against him, where he claimed he was doing undercover work with these. He would take women on the, allegedly, take women on these missions to save kids. And he'd be like, okay, now we gotta lie to the traffickers and make them think that we're married. So we got to do all the things married people do. We're going to sleep together. We're going to shower together. We're going to do all the things. All the things. That's what the allegations are. Then, and here's the thing. Ballard, there's another theory about all this, as you already know. The Ballard was using this movie in Sound of Freedom and Operation Underground Railroad as this big sort of scheme to get people to join the LDS Church, in a way. And then the LDS Church disowned his ass, too. Because he was exaggerating about his connections to the, the main prophet guy, who's ironically also named Ballard. Different, not related, though, apparently. And then Glenn Beck came out, who Glenn Beck, also LDS, came out and said that he felt duped and betrayed by Tim Ballard. Everyone turned their back on this guy. Then Fabian Marta, who helped finance the film, got arrested for child kidnapping. And then Jim Caviezel, who plays Tim Ballard in this movie, which it's all fabricated, by the way. Turns out the whole story is not true. Got accused of sexual misconduct by 7 women. Now, these are all accusations, right? Anyone can accuse anyone of anything. Totally true. So I certainly don't know what happened with any of these people. But it is interesting, right? From the conspiracy standpoint, we always like to try to expose people that are messing around with the kids, and you think, man, okay, either this is insidious because these people claim they're saving kids and they're really doing the opposite, or even not quite the opposite. Maybe they're messing around with women sexually, and maybe they're kidnapping kids and all the sexual assault allegations. Like, that's a pretty bad thing. Like, maybe they're grifting and hiding behind the shadows of that thing, or maybe they're exposing too much and the system's sort of like making sure they keep their mouth shut. Don't know. The saving the kids thing is the most sort of controversial area of conspiracy theory. You recall lots of people this year said Mel Gibson was going to release this documentary exposing all the child abuse in Hollywood and traffickers and all that. That didn't happen either. There's a weird layover. You have to be very careful because some of these people are grifters. That's all I do know, right? You just got to be careful. Because we used to, from this podcast, we used to donate hundreds of dollars to Operation Underground Railroad back in 2020. Because I was so tired of seeing other conspiracy people ran and raving about how everything's a witch hunt. All these people are abusing kids. And I thought, well, God, let's do something about it. Let's put some money down on it. So we started giving money to them. And then I heard a lot of things. Back in 21, I heard things about Underground Railroad, so I stopped. And I'm not at liberty to share those things. Let's just say that I had heard some things, and I thought, I don't know about this. And turns out your boy was right. Maybe, I don't know. And I don't know what the answer is, you know? It's sad. It's unfortunate. You can't just put some money at a cause, and the right people are doing the right things. Doesn't always happen. Also on Shade 45, you know, I did many episodes with Rude Jude on the All Out show, and we had a long history. We had a lot of back and forths, a lot of ups, a lot of downs, me and Jude. Sometimes we were best of friends. Sometimes we were not friends at all. And, we were trying to make something work over there on the show, and it didn't work out. And, his show got canceled. I don't know the details of it. I have no hard feelings against Jude, even though the way my last appearance on there didn't go well and I felt misunderstood. I did reach out to him and said, hey man, like if you need help launching something on your own, like I'd love to help out, whatever, right? But no word back, but he got canceled. He had one of the most popular shows on all of Sirius. It was on there for 20 years. And for apparently no reason, they pulled the plug on it. I don't know what the details are. There's different rumors. You can obviously Google it, but pretty wild. And it does make you wonder if all these people talking to, because what was weird about Jude's show is he would let me talk about literally anything. We started out talking about Balenciaga. That's where we started. And I said we'd have phone conversations before and after recording, and we would talk about strategy. And I was just like, "Are you sure you want to cover all this? Because I don't know, like, this is a pretty mainstream platform." And he's like, "Dude, it's my show, man. I'm just gonna float that out there." And that's the kind of thing that makes me wonder if all this stuff with like Sound of Freedom and canceling Tim Ballard and all these people, I think, man, I hope I'm on the right side of things. I don't know. But what's my favorite pop culture moment? My favorite one of the year, because it hits a little bit of many territories. It hits a little bit on conspiracy theory, hits a little bit on pop culture, hits a little bit on meme world, hits a little bit on, did I say aliens yet? Aliens and the paranormal. It's that lady on the plane, Tiffany Gomez, who said, "That mother effer ain't real." Remember, you all know what I'm talking about. What was interesting is that the video released, everyone was questioning it. All the conspiracy people, myself included, said, what did she see back there? Did she see a shape-shifting person? She was terrified of this person she was sitting next to. She made a big scene and then left the plane. Then you saw footage later on of police talking to her at the terminal there. And she was crying. She was literally crying. And she was like, that plane can't leave. Like, those people are going to die. Okay. And then, obviously, the plane was okay. And she disappears. Well, actually, I think her name, she was unidentified for many months, I think. Then she reappeared all of a sudden. She's like, "Hi, I'm Tiffany Gomez. I'm the lady." And a lot of people said, that doesn't quite look like her. But it kind of does. I don't know. It's hard to say. It could be. It could not be. And she did a sort of publicity tour. And in fact, when she first came to came out publicly, I reached out to her on a message and said, "Hey, I'd love to hear your story. I'd love to share. I'd love to hear your experience." And, you know, no word. But she did a bunch of big shows. That's what's weird about it, right? She did a bunch of huge shows. And it was interesting because the shows that I did hear, she didn't really clarify it. Like, she, I don't say she dodged the question, but she kind of played it off like it was like, it was just a weird moment. And I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. So there's questions of whether or not this is really her. And if it's not her, is it someone who looked close enough that was like, "I'm going to cash this one in"? Like, that seems believable. And we don't have, like, she was on Alex Stein's show on Blaze TV or whatever that's on. And I listened to that podcast. I mean, on one of the interviews I heard, she said that she was, it had something to do with a guy sitting next to her had these AirPods, or she dropped her AirPods and wanted him to grab them or something. And he was being goofy. And that's why she got up. She says, "That mother effer isn't real." And she implied that it was sort of a slang thing. She wasn't saying like, "Oh, he's a shape-shifting alien." She was saying like, "He's not being real." And I don't believe it. I just don't. Why was she crying in the terminal? Why was she worried everyone was going to die in the plane? I don't know. And that's why it's my favorite pop culture moment, because I feel like that one's got some staying power. I feel like 2-3 years from now, we might still be talking about this. All right, moving on. You know, in the past, we talked about favorite music, and I've kind of crossed the threshold. I've crossed the, the Rubicon here. I don't stay current enough. I really don't. So I'm going to drop that one off the year wrap-up list. I did listen to several albums. I listened to, ironically, the Travis Scott Utopia album I liked. I thought that was pretty good. What else did I listen to? The Nicki Minaj album, Pink Friday 2. That was pretty good. Lots of Suicide Boys albums that dropped. That was pretty good. It's fine. I don't say curt enough to have an opinion, though. So that's it for favorite music. Hey, I'm 44. Come on, give me a break. Best movie. Again, I don't say current enough on every movie that this opinion should really matter to you, but if you're curious, what my favorite movie of 23 that I watched in 23, I should say. Because look, I spent most of the year watching Twin Peaks. I started my Twin Peaks journey this year. But what I did was I ran through my Letterboxd history. I'm on Letterboxd. I don't know if you're on there. You should follow me on there. Let me find my profile. I think it's Isaac Weishaupt. Let's take a look. Let's take a look. Yeah, Isaac Weishaupt. You can see my top four favorite movies of all time, my recent activity. As of this recording, you'll see I watched Wonka. Then I watched the 2003 or whatever year it was, the Johnny Depp, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Hated Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I hated it the first time when I saw it in the theaters. And I really enjoyed that story. I read the book as a kid, and I watched the new Wonka, the Twink Wonka, they call it. I was like, I should watch that Johnny Depp one more time. Maybe I wasn't ready for it. No, it's terrible. It's his voice. They should have just made him do Captain Jack Sparrow voice. And the AMSR with the gloves, I hate it. It's the worst. I'll never watch it again. Okay. And I'll cover worst movies of 23. Let's talk best, though. Let's start out positive. I saw a lot of movies this year that were good, I thought. I liked the Barbie movie. The Oppenheimer movie, a little disappointing. I was a little disappointed with it. I wouldn't say it was one of the worst. I watched a documentary on Netflix about Arnold Schwarzenegger. I thought that was great. It actually motivated me to finally watch the Conan the Barbarian movies. I'd never seen them, if you can believe that. And I absolutely loved them. Loved Conan the Barbarian. His best movie. I'm going to say it. Arnold's best movie. Conan the Barbarian. Prove me wrong. Even Conan the Destroyer was great. Red Sonja was okay. The remake was trash. The Jason Momoa remake. Which should have worked. I think on paper it should have worked, but it wasn't. It was bad. But that 80s Conan the Barbarian, bring that on all day long. Avatar 2 I watched this year. I think it was this year, January. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I watched John Wick 1 through 3. I haven't even seen 4 yet, but I watched that for the first time. Those were great. Great movies. I also saw Boxing Helena for the first time. It's a early 90s movie with Sherilyn Fenn from Twin Peaks. Loved it. Great movie. It was directed by Jennifer Lynch, David's daughter. If you can find a copy of that, I enjoyed it thoroughly. But the winner, my favorite movie that I watched in 2023, not from the year 2023, but for your boy to watch, easily, hands down, without a question, Fire Walk With Me. That's right. And if you're in the Twin Peaks Grey Lodge with me, you'll know it goes season one, season two, then we're doing Fire Walk With Me. And I'm very excited to get to that because that was the moment where I first thought, okay, there's something going on with Twin Peaks here. Because if you remember, I started watching it. It might have been December of 22, but I couldn't find definitive evidence. But I didn't finish season two until, I think, February. And then I watched Fire Walk With Me in March, and that's when I said, okay, what's going on here? Fire Walk With Me is the greatest. I watched it, I bet, 10 times this year. I'm going to talk about this, but me and Josie flew up to Snoqualmie where they filmed Twin Peaks. I watched it on the plane right up exactly, and I'm not exaggerating, exactly the same amount of time it took to fly from Salt Lake to Seattle was the full movie. You know what I'm saying? It's meant to be. Then we watched it there at Snoqualmie at the Great Northern, the Salish Lodge, which I loved very much. Definitely going back someday. We watched that, and it was beautiful. We had the door open. It was all moody as hell. It was October. It was all moody and foggy. We had the fireplace going. We were watching Fire Walk With Me. Oh, my God. It's the stuff dreams are made of. And then we went and visited Mary Reber at the Laura Palmer home. We'll talk about that again. And then flying home, I watched it a third time. Obsessed. Absolutely obsessed. All right, moving on to the worst movies of 23. This is the year for mid films. There's so many mid films out there, but some stand out as absolute trash. You might not like this. You might not like this. Nefarious. TikTok convinced me this is the most terrifying movie ever made. It wasn't terrifying. It was terrible. Absolute trash. Megan, about the robot thing, started out pretty strong and they had lots of rave reviews. And I thought, well, maybe this is pretty good. But by the end of it, I was like, this is the most overhyped film of all time. This is trash. Right in the trash bin it belongs. A movie called Hostage to the Devil. Trash. Absolute trash. And the winner of the worst movie. Those weren't the worst to me. To me, the worst movie of the year, at least the ones I saw, White Noise. That's right, White Noise. We did a show about it, and it was on the top 10. We did a show with Nick Hinton about the movie White Noise. I tried to watch it. So painful. It reminded me of Wes Anderson movies. I absolutely hate Wes Anderson movies. You could miss me with that BS all day long. White Noise might be my most hated film of all time. And it's not really fair because I didn't finish it. I was maybe 45 minutes in and I was like, I can't do this. I literally can't do it. So there you go. There's the movie breakdown. Celebrity deaths. There's a lot of celebrities that died. Lots of them. Let's go down through the list. Kenneth Anger. We did a whole show on this guy. This was a very prominent occultist. He filmed like the first gay film ever. He's an architect of putting occult symbolism into artwork, into film. You don't get David Lynch without Kenneth Anger. I'm sorry, you just don't. You just don't. You don't have to like him. He's connected with Crowley and Parsons and Marjorie Cameron and all these folks. We talked about it on the show. But, you know, these influences are influences. Matthew Perry died from Friends. We did two episodes on that already. Tina Turner died. We talked about her occult connections on a show. Man, what was it? I don't even remember. Bad host. Didn't look it up. I should look it up. Let's see. Tina Turner. And fun fact, our dog, Tina, is named after Tina Turner because she's got these little white booty feet, little boots. Tiny dancer. Dancing for money. What did we talk about here on the show? Oh, that's actually pretty interesting stuff. Where was it, though? I'm trying to get to you the occult thing. Oh, they talk about Buddhism, which I'm actually reading a book about right now. Is she Illuminate Confirm? Just because she's into Buddhism doesn't make her Illuminate Confirm. Maybe she wasn't Illuminate Confirm. All right, you'd have to listen to the whole show. Sorry. Nothing stands out. Maybe not. She did say something, though. Anyway, moving on. Lisa Marie Presley, Elvis's daughter, died right after the Elvis movie was released, which is really odd, isn't it? She died at age 54, complications or something from a bariatric surgery. Crazy. The timing is bizarre, right? Wrestlers. You know, we love wrestling here. Bad year for wrestlers. Shout out Costa out there. He told me he was a wrestler. Anyway. Jay Briscoe, who was on the Briscoe Brothers on Ring of Honor Wrestling. I was watching that for a few years. Tragically died in a car crash. He was only 38 years old. A car crossed the middle of the road and they hit head on and he's dead. Iron Sheik, legend in WWF. I grew up. I have photos of Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov at Allentown, PA, at the wrestling match my parents took me to for WWF back in the early 80s. He was an actual guard of Iran for the Shah. There's a whole documentary. I think I watched it this year or last year about the Iron Sheik. It's pretty good. Darren Drozdov. I actually didn't watch him wrestle ever. I just knew who he was from a bunch of documentaries. He had I think they called him puke because he had a condition where he would puke all the time. And it's where you get that meme, that Vince McMahon video clip. He's gonna puke. He's gonna puke. That's from Darren Draws, too, I think. But he had a neck injury from wrestling, and he was a quadriplegic. Very tragic story of draws. Then we got Terry Funk. Again, I grew up with Terry Funk. This is one of the hardcore. He was one of the, you know, every match he'd be bloody. Every match. One of the original hardcore wrestlers. He was in Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze. But man, bad year for wrestling. Bad year for Christians. Pat Robertson died. I'm not a fan. But more importantly, Dr. Michael Heiser, who I am a fan of, a Christian who wrote about a variety of like the Nephilim and the spiritual battles and kind of conspiracy related content. I followed him early on in my little journey because he would talk about ancient alien stuff and, you know, debunk some things or whatever. He passed away. And so did Tom Horn. He did a ton of Christian conspiracy stuff. I think the one I had read from him was Apollyon Rising 2012. I think we talked about that with the occult ritual of the resurrection of Osiris ritual in D.C. at the House of the Temple that they do for every president. But yeah, those figures. Oh, Richard Belzer died. He also was kind of conspiracy. He wrote, well, not kind of, he wrote several conspiracy books. Richard Belzer did. Pee Wee Herman, you know, Paul Rubens. He's a legend. I grew up obsessed with Pee Wee Herman. Loved it. Loved the Pee Wee's Playhouse show. Loved Pee Wee's Big Adventure. I seen it a million times. Loved him in Blow, the movie with Johnny Depp. Now, unfortunately, there's this dark side. I don't know what the truth is. Allegedly, he was in possession of some, you know, child stuff. And the defense I've heard from that is that it was actually art from the 20s or something. So I don't know. I don't know what was going on that side of the house, but as far as an actor, man, I loved Pee. I dressed up as Pee-wee when I was a little kid for Halloween. So he died, and that's very sad. It's tragic. Henry Kissinger died. He's basically he's Illuminati confirmed. He's basically the Illuminati itself. He's from Bavaria too, just like Adam Weishaupt, of no relation to me. Suzanne Somers died. Jimmy Buffett. Bob Barker. I met Bob Barker. He died. Sad. William Friedkin. Let me clarify. If you haven't heard the story, me and Josie and her family went to be on The Price is Right in 2003. And I had a copy of Happy Gilmore. And during one of the commercial breaks, I ran him, got a signature. So kind of. I was wearing my Air Force blues because I was trying to get on the show. So I went to Bob to be like, hey, there's an Air Force guy, get him on, because he was in the Air Force. William Friedkin, the director of The Exorcist, died. Strangely, again, at the release of the new Exorcist movie, which it's okay. I think the sequel is going to be better if they do one. Friedkin, I didn't know this, but The Exorcist, the first original one, the 50th anniversary was December 26th, meaning it was released at Christmas. When it came out, I had no idea. That's very dark. That's really evil. I don't know what I assumed it had been released in October back in 73, but apparently not. Sinead O'Connor died. Remember, she was one of the early whistleblowers talking about the Catholic Church, and they condemned her back in the day. You know, these people that come out and speak the truth, they get smacked around a bunch. Ken Block, I think he was the Red Bull guy. Something like that. The Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. I read the manifesto once, and it was, I'm not opposed to his ideas. I thought they were pretty good ideas. I obviously don't condone the violence, so the violent side, but he was a MK Ultra participant, so who knows what happened there. Some wires got crossed. Tony Bennett died. Jerry Springer died. And then, you know, last but not least, we've got some Twin Peaks losses. We've got Robert Blake, who was in Lost Highway. He died. Tom Sizemore, who was in Season 3, The Return, died. And Piper Laurie, Catherine Martell, a Hall of Famer character from the Twin Peaks universe. She also died this year. Very sad. And what's interesting is that Angelo Baldamenti, who was the composer, did the music for Twin Peaks, which, as you know, if you listen to my Twin Peaks Primer show, The music is the key to the show, I think. And he died at the end of December of 22. And that was right around the time that I started watching Twin Peaks, which I found very odd. Okay. Let's see. Personal memories time. Let's go down to personal memories time. I got a favorite. Okay. I got some other weird ones. But some of my favorites, Enrique talk. I was on TikTok, and Enrique Iglesias at his concerts sounds pretty bad. But it's very entertaining, and I couldn't get off the loop. I enjoyed it very thoroughly. So the Enrique talk was one of my favorite things this year. Put a smile on my face. I went golfing. I started watching sports ball, right? I'm watching the... Because, you know... And the reason why is because being a man, my male friends, they all talk football. They all talk sports, but football for sure. I think I'm just going to start watching football again. And I enjoy it. I like it. My teams. So here's the thing. Growing up, you're probably saying, well, who's your team, Isaac? Growing up, my dad and I were huge Oakland Raiders fans. So I am Raider Nation, but... And my dad didn't like the Philadelphia Eagles, even though that's where I grew up. So part of me, like, I enjoy watching the Eagles. They've got a really, I like their team this year. They're doing really good. They play aggressively. They do a lot of cool trick plays and stuff. So those are my two teams, right? The Raiders and the Eagles. And people are probably like, oh, you bandwagon jumper. Well, I don't care enough, right? It's fine. It doesn't take over my life yet. But those are my teams I'm watching, the Raiders and the Eagles. So, and Mario out there. Oh, sorry, dude. Is it Mario or Mario? He told me. Mario. It's Mario. We're Raider Nation. Okay. They're not doing too hot this year. But my Eagles are, so there we go. So that's right. That's right. Isaac's watching sports ball. I traded in music for sports. Man, a bunch of crazy stuff. Let's see. Oh, and then here's another weird one. I was talking with somebody about Gnosticism. They were asking me about it. And I was explaining to them what the Pleroma was, about how there's this realm where they think the real God lives out in the divine called the Pleroma. And, you know, a word you never use. I use it on this show sometimes. In my real life, never. No one's asking me these things. So if someone had asked me that, and I'm not even exaggerating. I leave that location, and I drive an eighth of a mile, not even an eighth of a mile, 10 seconds. And in front of me is a car, and their license plate is a personalized plate that says Pleroma. Isn't that odd? And it just made me think about, you know, the Gnostic idea that the world is a simulation. I don't know what to make of that. It was really odd. But my favorite moment of the year, my favorite memory of the year, you already know where we're going. It's Twin Peaks. From watching season 1, 2, Fire Walk With Me, season 3, to going all the way up to Snoqualmie to see where they shot all these iconic scenes. And then the icing on the cake, going to meet with Mary Reber and going inside the Laura Palmer home to interview Mary Reber inside the home. I don't even know how to express it in words. I can't. I want to go back. I want to go back now. I think they're doing something at the end of February. I'm not going to be able to make it for that. But the next one I will. The next event, I should have my book done by then, I hope, I think. I'm hoping to have it done by fall of 24. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway. Yeah, Twin Peaks, Washington. Loved it. All right, what else do we got? Oh, least favorite memory. If you remember the beginning. So last October in Halloween, I woke up with COVID. And I got a chronic sinusitis. It wouldn't go away for months. Pain in the ass. Finally got rid of it. And I've been healthy for a long time. And then I woke up on my birthday this year right before Thanksgiving with COVID again. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Of course, this time was a breeze, you know, but still, it's like a bummer, dude. You don't want to wake up on your birthday with COVID. All right, 2022. Okay, let's talk big moves. And then we're going to talk about guests and interviews and countdown and predictions. Let's go. Big moves. I got dissed by Kelly Slater, the world-famous surfer on Instagram. Cedric Bixler dissed me and blocked me. He told me to try harder. He's the lead singer of some band. I don't even remember the name of it. What the hell's the name of it? The Verve? No, Mars Volta. That's it. I don't listen to rocks that much, so. So that's always fun. If I have a celebrity interaction, it's automatically going on the big moves calendar. Automatically. Automatically. We cleared 14.6 million downloads this year. Last year, we cleared 10 million. So that means we hit almost 5 million this year. That's impressive. That's you guys. Thank you. I got my 14th appearance on Tinfoil Hat a couple weeks ago. I got to finally link up with House and Habit and Kanye's post. Shout out to Jessica and Emily. I saw a bird frozen in the sky. I think we talked about this. It was very odd. I don't even know how to... That's it. I saw it frozen in the sky. I'm not seeing things. That's what I saw. Let's see here. I started the Apple Premium feed, right? Started the Apple Premium feed and turned my Rockfin into a free feed. Not a popular choice, okay? I know a lot of Rockfin people got really mad about it. I get it. I don't want you to be mad at me, all right? Leave a comment on the Rockfin video, and I'll find it, and I'm going to shoot you an email address. I need you to write me. Send me an email, okay? I want to make it right. I'm not trying to make people mad. It's not working out for me over there. So leave a comment if you're on there and you're not thrilled about that. I'll see if I can help you out. We had some great sponsors on the show this year. We had Factor, HelloFresh, BetterHelp, and my man James at Copy My Crypto. Thank you all. Great products, great sponsors. I use all of them, so they're great. Gray Lodge was the big thing for me, right? We started the Twin Peaks Gray Lodge. Again, not everyone loved it. Not received with open arms, but hey, you know what? I'm an artist in a way, and I got to do what drives me towards doing things. And that's Twin Peaks, so. But it's not going to be going on forever. We'll get it done. We're going to get the Gray Lodge done in 24. We're going to be through all of it. I think we're almost halfway through season two. Well, not halfway. We're moving into season two. We'll get there. I started up a Substack, which I'm going to do, you know, maybe one article a month or two until I get my book done. So 24, we're going to keep that at an idle. And 25, I'm gonna start ripping out Substack articles. I had several people sign up to pay for, what do you call it? You can pay a premium on Substack to, you know, support the writer. And I have that turned off because I don't want it. That's one more thing I can't handle, but man, that's nice. You guys are already committing money into it. That's dope. Thank you. But I'm not going to actually open that up till 25. I was allowed back onto my other YouTube channel. Not the first one that they banned me on with 73,000 subs, but a different one I started at Occult Symbolism has 18,000 subs. They let me back in there, so I'm uploading there again. What else? The big moves. I finished Twin Peaks 3 times. I'm working on my 4th. What else? Oh, and then my favorite one. My favorite big move was landing Coast to Coast. My man Richard Sirrett had me on his show. Then he had me on Coast to Coast AM. A bucket list item. Back in March. I mean, what's left? What's left? I got Joe Rogan and... I'm sure he has quite the queue of people who want to get on there. But, yeah, that's top of the bucket list right there, man. So, woohoo. Thank you, everyone, who helped make that happen. I know people are probably like, well, what you made it happen. I just listen. No, you're helping out, right? You listen to the show. You support the show. You share episodes with friends. All those things help me. So, thank you. We had a lot of great guests in the year 23. We had Donut talking Office Space and Adam's Family. We had Nick Hinton talking about the Ohio train deal, white noise, predictive programming. We had my man Mystic Mark on to talk about Yale Skull and Bones. We had filmmaker Darcy Weir and legendary ancient alien personality Mike Barra. I think I got it wrong originally too. To talk Disclosure and NASA. That was a great show. We had Jay Dyer back on. We had I think he's been on more than anyone else. Four times? I don't even know. Five times? We had John Brisson on to talk about Sound of Freedom. We had Donut back on with Juan Ayala from One on One. That was kind of an interview too. Like we kind of did a swap cast. Then of course we had Mary Reber, where we interviewed her in the Laura Palmer home, which is her home, aka Mary Reber, aka Alice Tremon from the Twin Peaks storyline. And then we rounded out the year with Dr. Diana Pasalka. So, I mean, those are some legendary guests for the year 23. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on this humble little show. And I do plan on doing a Dr. Diana Pasalka's Encounters book review, where we go through some of the main ideas. So if you bought the book and you're reading it, we're going to come back to it. I just got to get it going. Then, man, and I was on a ton of shows this year. I tried to really add a bunch to the repertoire here. I had Richard Syrett, I think twice we did. I did Richard Syrett's show, Reality Czars podcast, Mark Clare. And some of these guys are coming back. We're going to do Twin Peaks shows. I'm going to have them back on. We're going to talk Twin Peaks exclusively with people like Mark Clare. Bledsoe Said So. I think I was his first repeat guest. I need to link back up with those guys. Danny Polischuk's Low Value Mail. This is my first time working with him. He's a funny guy. I think he got banned off of YouTube or something after I did that. I don't remember. I don't know if it had anything to do with me or not. I don't know. I linked up with Tony from The Confessionals. That was a big deal. That should have been up on the Big Moves calendar, actually. Great dude. We're both from the same area of PA there. So, yeah, that was dope. You should check that out for sure on The Confessionals. Huge paranormal show. Massive show. In fact, I was doing a little cyber stalking. And Mark Frost, who's part of the creative force behind Twin Peaks, right? Him and David Lynch are the creative minds behind it. Mark Frost follows Tony Merkel on the Confessionals. And I said, bro, we should do something. Come on, let's go. So we'll see. Mary Wild, I got the link up with her. She does the Evolution of Horror podcast sometimes. She has her own shows. We did Eyes Wide Shut. That was a good one. Really happy I could meet up with her. I did Quite Frankly, the Quite Frankly show in August. That's another huge show. Blunt Letters, Michaela and Elle, thank you so much. They sent me a really nice Happy Yule card. And they're going to come back on to talk Twin Peaks too. I did The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano. I just did Jamie Hansall's show on YouTube. Check that out. We talked about Beyonce and the Goddess. I did Tinfoil Hat three times. I did Wizard of Oz in March. We talked about then. Me and Jay Dyer were on there for an End Times discussion in October. And then just last week, we did Leave the World Behind on Netflix. So three shows this year. Like I said, I linked up with House and Habit. I did Eyes Wide Shut on her massive, massive feed on Substack. And she's doing lots of cool presidential race coverage on her Instagram, so check her out. And then, of course, Coast to Coast AM, which is nothing to sneeze at. That was a big deal. So, yeah, lots of interviews this year, right? And I know people have been reaching out to me. They want me to do their show. I'm on the fence about doing as many this year because I got to get this Twin Peaks thing done, man. And it's just it's taking me longer than I want it to. So I might hold off on doing shows for a few months. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Oh, most dramatic show of the year is that Sound of Freedom episode. People definitely had some feelings about it. And I get it, right? I get it. We already talked about it, so we don't need to go back in there. But That was the most dramatic show of the year. John Brisson taking shots, man. He a tough guy, right? Try to stand up for the truth, right? Someone's got to do it. All right, favorite episode of the year for me is the most interesting. It was the most fun. It's the exploration of Twin Peaks, Grey Lodge series. Of course, you know what it is. You know the deal. I know it's not one episode. I know it's a series, but easily my favorite. Now, if you forced me to pick one, I would say The Wizard of Oz show. I really enjoyed that because I liked the movie. I liked the topic. Some good runners-up, Idiocracy, the film analysis was great. I enjoyed that movie. The Hoover Dam shows, those were really interesting to me. I didn't think that was going to go anywhere, but that did. And we did a Microsoft's AI chatbot, and I gave you the Stephen Hawking voice, and that was fun. That was a funny one. My least favorite episode to do of the year, ironically, was also the Hoover Dam. It was part three because I had to buy this big expensive book and read this thing, and oh, it was painful to read. I did not like it. But everything else was good. You know, interesting subjects. All right, let's get into the top episodes, and then we're doing predictions, and we're done. Spotify Unwrapped. They said that my top listened to episode for the year was the Grammys 2023 Symbolism. You remember Sam Smith came out as the devil. He said it was streamed 999% more than an average episode. That's, you know, 1,000% more? That's pretty crazy. Said most new listeners were from countries, right? Number one was Nigeria, and number two was Greece. Thought that was pretty cool. Because, you know, my wife's Greek, and I am Greek Orthodox. And it said that I am the top listened to podcast for 1,683 listeners. So shout out to those 1,683 people. I appreciate that. And then it's a top 10 podcast for over 15,000 people. So that's dope. Now, let's talk about this top episodes countdown. The top 10 downloaded shows, which I would consider as the most popular shows, right? And I might not do this segment anymore. This might be the last year because I actually don't know how accurate this really is. I need to get better analytics going on because the analytics I'm using for the top 10 for every year I've done this, I noticed that it's always shows from January or February. And it makes me wonder if that's just because they've been on there longer than the rest, right? It's good news, bad news, right? The good news is my shows are getting listened to well after they're being published. The bad news is I'm not getting most of those listens in the first 30 days. But so for the sake of continuity, we'll just do it again this year. Remember in 22, the top listened to show was the Will Smith versus Chris Rock slap from March, racking up almost 48,000 listens at the time. In fact, we should see where that's at now. Aren't we curious? And this is what, March is still, it gives it, that 9 months? 9 months to rack up listens? Yeah, see, it's at 53,000 listens right now. That's almost 6,000 spins in, the year. Anyway. I just don't know how much value added these countdowns are now. That's my concern. Number 10, the Ezra Miller show with 30,630. I'm not going to... Okay. Number 9, the 2022 wrap-up show, ironically, from last year on January 2nd, 30,000. Wizard of Oz Part 3, 31,000. The Microsoft Bing show came in at number 7 with 31,000. Avatar 2 came out at 31,000. But like I said, these are all like January, February, March shows. Every single one of them. And I find that hard to believe that they were the most popular, right? Avatar 3 drops in 25, by the way. I looked that up. All right, where are we at? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. It's number 5. Wait, 1, 2. I think I did my counting wrong. Okay, sorry. This one's number 7. I promise you. Wizard of Oz number part 1 came in at 32,000. Number 6 is the Rihanna Super Bowl at 34,000. Number 5, is that right? Number 5 is Wizard of Oz part 2, where we actually did the film analysis, so obviously more popular. 36,000. Number 4, my man Nick Hinton coming through in the clutch. 36,000 listens on the Ohio train symbolism. Number 3, the office symbolism with Donut pulling out 36,000 listens as well. Number 2 was a TMZ show, which we don't do as much anymore. I'll probably do one or two of those this year, though, coming up. Over 36,000. It was the one about Andrew Tate, the Idaho murders, Simpsons, Balenciaga, all kinds of stuff. And then number 1, as you already probably know from the Spotify Wrapped, is the Grammys 2023 symbolism with Sam Smith, Satanism, with almost 37,000 spins. So thank you for listening. CBS was tweeting about how they're ready to worship on Twitter after that Grammys, if you recall. All right, now, let's wrap it up. We got to go. Predictions. First, we're going to recap 2022's wrap-up show predictions, all right? Let's revisit it. I said I think Dane Cook is going to be canceled in 23. The verdict? Not quite. Not quite. In fact, he's kind of doing the opposite. He's kind of making the rounds at the comedy clubs again, and he's active on TikTok, and I've seen him do a couple of interviews on podcasts. But what's interesting is he got married in September of 23, right? Which was interesting. He's 51, she's 24. They started dating when she was 18. And if you recall, the reason why I even predicted such a thing, because there was all those Isaac Cappy conspiracies about Dane Cook. There's photos of Dane Cook and Seth Green and Isaac Cappy hanging out at what they called Game Night, where Cappy, I think, was saying a lot of the shady business was going down. And the claim is that Dane Cook, Green, and Cappy, they were doing these, having all these young girls over for game night. And that's where Dane Cook actually met his now wife, Kelsey Taylor. Newsweek posted some theories and discussion about all this, and someone dug through all of Dane Cook's social media posts and saw that he tagged Kelsey when she was 17. Barely, though. That same month is when she turned 18. And then there was another image of Dane Cook next to this actress, Emily Lind, who was 14 at the time. Now, is there anything illegal going on there? Apparently not. I mean, Dane Cook waited till she was 18, apparently, but boy, I don't like the looks of it. Especially given what Isaac Cappy was saying. I have my doubts about Isaac Cappy, but I don't know, man. Maybe. I think there's some element of truth there. I don't think Isaac Cappy was like a total fraud or nothing like that. Don't get me wrong. Anyway. My whole thing is like these people that are plugged into this and who are dropping allegations, I'm like, you got to get the proof, man. Get some video or something. Like, why do they do this? It's the same criticism I have of Kanye West. He wants to say that, you know, this person and that person rule the world and were screwing with me. And the only thing that he did provide evidence of was the Harley Pasternak text. Well, that was good, right? That was good. I also predicted last year that a sort of Deadpool section, if you get my drift. I thought Doja Cat and Kanye West weren't looking good. Weren't looking good. Now, Doja Cat, she did a little bit of a death and rebirth ritual coming back as Scarlet. So, I mean, that one's kind of true. She kind of died and was reborn. And, you know, Kanye West, yay. He's still kicking. He still ran, but he's now apologizing. So, it appears he's going to make it through. All right. That's good. We need to keep yay around. Finally, my last prediction was Revelation of the Method. And I know that's a little subjective, a little fuzzy, but I think that happened. I think we got Netflix's Leave the World Behind was showing us all these things that then came out true. The Chinese hackers, the Zuckerberg building his doomsday bunker in Hawaii, all those things, they were showing us that. we started out the year with Rihanna sneaking in the rock diamond on TV, but then they wouldn't let it on TV, but they let it on YouTube, which was really weird. Egypt wouldn't let Travis Scott perform at the pyramids. They had this huge to-do where they were going to do a Utopia performance at the pyramids. Egypt shut it down. Revelation of the method. They need you to start thinking about the spiritual battle. And we're seeing it sort of happen in real time in front of us.
Finally.
Oh, finally, predictions for 23. So, to put a bow on it, 22. what did I get right there? None of it, really. I mean, you could argue, but I'm not going to. I'm going to say, 1.3 out of 3. For 23, Diddy, I think, is not going to have a good 2023. I mean, that doesn't take much of a genius to see. But he's got a lot of people looking at him right now, a lot of people accusing him right now. And, my personal opinion, I mean, I kind of believe it, right? Of course, you shouldn't believe every single allegation about every person. But the, man, this one feels like it's true. It really does. So I think he's, things aren't going to end well for him. I don't know what that looks like specifically, but it ain't good. Another prediction, the Epstein list of co-conspirators is supposed to drop on January 1st. I'm telling you right now, that ain't happening. That ain't happening. If it does, they're going to redact connected names. You're not getting the full list. It ain't happening. I don't think it's even going to, I don't think any names are dropping on January 1st, to be honest. If anything, they've got a list on there of people they want to sort of cancel, and they're going to be like, okay, release the list with those names. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get half the names or something. We'll see. January 1st isn't that far away, so let's see what happens. Taylor Swift and Kelce, that ain't going to work out. You know that ain't going to work out. We're going to see them break up. Taylor's going to have a million albums about it. Because my thing is, like, Travis Kelce's dating history doesn't really line up to him liking Taylor Swift, I don't think. We'll see. There's no way. And then finally, yeah, UFOs. 2025 is supposed to be the year of disclosure, so 24, it's got to heat up. And, we're not going to get any real evidence. No proof. It ain't going to happen. So there you go. Big year. Thanks for listening to the show this whole time. I couldn't do it without you. So keep that support going in 24, however that looks for you, right? Staying subscribed on the free feed, sharing episodes with friends. You guys are doing great on that. Signing up for Patreon if that's your time. But thank you so much. Thanks for getting me on these shows and hooking it up and listening and supporting and dropping 5-star reviews. I appreciate you guys so much. Let's get it through 2024. I got tons of banger shows coming out already in January. Until next time, stay woke.